Bible reads, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Holy Father God, we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for your holy word, all of it. Thank you for allowing us to be on this journey through this series, The Free State of Glory. What a journey it has been. And we thank you, Lord, for all of those who've gone on this ride with us. And we pray that you'd forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness in our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirits, so that we can be vessels fit for your use. It is unfortunate that we have to confess sins at every turn, have to pray and ask you to forgive us. But in the words of your servant, D.L. Moody, who is now home with you, we leak. We have holes in us. And by your grace, we may not do anything, but we think some things that we ought not to think. And we feel some ways we ought not to feel. And so, Lord God in heaven, we don't ever want to think that we're perfect and we have arrived, because we have not. In the words of your servant Dave Ramsey, he said, "Things are going good right now, but I could mess it all up. So help us not to mess it all up. Crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us afresh and anew. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us not to rest upon our laurels, yea, in truth, your laurels. Because if you have used us in the past, it was you who did it, and you deserve all the glory, praise, and honor. But help us not to rest upon what you did for us and in us and through us in the past. Help us to depend upon you right now. Grant us fresh anointing, unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit. To love you back, to trust you, to fear you, to obey you, and to be faithful to you. Lord God in heaven, demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Grant us fresh anointing and fresh unction from on high. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved. And help us to all give you the glory, the praise, and honor until the day we die. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated in the house of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, in our last message, last Saturday, we talked about Jesus' final words, in which he affirms that he is coming again and coming quickly. In other words, when he comes, it's going to be quick. Still, it is apparent that his quick coming is yet future. But rest assured, he's coming. They waited a long time for him to come the first time, but he came. And God and Jesus, who cannot lie, it's impossible for them to lie, you can rest assured he's coming again. You know things cannot continue on as they are. You know that. And get real. Things can't continue as they are. But little children, wonderful children full of life, full of promise, future missionaries, future preachers, future presidents, future congressmen, and congresswomen. being shot down for nothing. No, no, no. You know this can't go on, man. It's not going to go on for much longer. Christians of every age have had to learn how to live in expectation of his coming. For how do we keep our eyes on the prize, on the goal line of history, if you will, while we live in this present evil world, this present broken, sin-filled world? In this world, beloved, we have to endure things, silly things, stupid things, as the high school shooting in Florida. And then we have to live through this song and dance of politicians whose every last one of their heads ought to roll. The Florida governor is calling for the FBI heads to roll. But more than that, more heads need to roll. The Florida governor, his head ought to roll. He ought to resign. The FBI director ought to resign immediately. But everybody in that little office that takes in hundreds of leads every day, every last one of them ought to resign and lose their jobs. I'm all for law enforcement, but the sheriff ought to resign. The police chief ought to resign. The school board president ought to resign. A whole lot of heads need to roll, because this is stupid. This is senseless. A little 2x4 demoniac can wreak that kind of permanent damage and havoc in a community. And I know you may not like it, but a boy like that, scrawny little devilish boy like that, we call them punks. I know you don't like it. I know I ought not to say it. I know you don't want to hear me say it, but we call them punks. And I don't know where his little lawyer that was assigned to him came from, but he does not deserve a hug and a hand on the back and all that. Are you kidding me? What are you thinking? Yes, everybody deserves respect and all of that, but you don't have to hug them like they are a victim. When there are 17 children his age dead because he chose to listen to the devil, and the FBI didn't choose to listen to the lead that they got. You put yourself in the shoes of those parents, but not only the parents, my friend. There's a sister sleeping in a bedroom that she shared with her sister, and her sister is gone. She wakes up to see her sister. She always, and they may have been mad at each other from time to time, and they turn their backs to the wall, to each other, and turn their faces to the wall. But that she would rather have that than her sister dead today. So when she gets up in the middle of the night, she breaks down to the floor in tears, because she will never see her sister again. Now you put yourself in their shoes. But not only that, a brother who was proud of his sister, who protected his sister. Not only that, deeper still, grandmothers and grandfathers, they have not ceased crying since this happened. More so than the parents. When he shot that child, he shot that grandmother in the heart. He shot that father, that grandfather in the heart. And even though the rough and scruffy father, hard worker, construction worker, big truck, tough as nails, has never cried in his life, that Joker, when he shot his princess daughter, shot him through the heart 10 times. And he can't, by the way, he can't believe you're still alive, and you better go to jail. You better go. Because you won't live long with a father like that. And with fathers like that. They'll band together and they'll get you. And think nothing of it. And be glad, and then turn themselves in to the police. Wouldn't it be better for all of us to be in heaven with the Lord than to live in such a world as this? But here we are. How do we live in this present evil world until Jesus comes? In the final verse of the Revelation, the final words of the Bible, St. John provides the answer through the power of the Holy Spirit as he bids his fellow believers and himself farewell. Or rather, he bids his fellow believers farewell, and he shows his fellow believers and brothers and sisters in Christ and himself how to do it. He writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Can somebody say amen? So be it. That is how we will live in this dark, evil and devastating world till our Lord Jesus Christ returns, yea, by the grace of God, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to make it but by the grace of God. So what is grace? Beloved, grace has been defined in many ways. But if you will, grace is defined in two paradigms, which we may call macro and micro grace. We all know the bottom line definition, God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve God's favor. None of us do. From the Pope on down, from Billy Graham on down, whoever's your favorite preacher on down, all of us deserve hell. Whenever people call Dave Ramsey to ask him questions about their financial situation, they always ask him, "Dave Ramsey, how are you doing?" One man last night was talking to Dave Ramsey, and he kept saying, every sentence he made, he would preface it by saying, "Dave, Dave this, and Dave that." Kind of like he didn't believe he was talking to Dave. But anyway, and Dave Ramsey always replies, "Better than I deserve." And that's what you better reply. Or something like it. Better, better than I deserve. And if you told the truth, that is the case for all of us. It's all by the grace of God. God's unmerited favor. We don't even deserve to be here. We deserve to be burning in hell. every last one of us. But we serve a God of amazing grace. Macro grace is what we usually think of when we think about grace. Borrowing a term from economics, macroeconomics, microeconomics. It is the big picture of the free and unmerited favor of God Almighty. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. I am basking in it right now. You say, you think you're a good fellow, don't you? No. You don't understand. I'm a bad fellow. I serve a good God. Can somebody say amen? I don't deserve to get to do what I do. I don't deserve to have done what I have done over the last 40 years, proclaiming the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ by any means necessary. I don't deserve the family I have, a wife and 7 children, all serving God. I don't deserve it. I deserve hell. I don't deserve the pennies I have. I don't deserve the house I live in. I don't deserve a cotton picking thing. But hell itself. So when I tell you God is good, you best believe that. God is good. To save a wretch like me, to use a wretch and a nobody like me to do the things that I do by the grace of God. Being a hard-nosed evangelist, prophet kind of a guy, I don't use those titles because so many people who are not evangelists and who are not prophets use that name, so I don't use it. I mention that because I don't pastor a church with a regular salary and so forth and so on, yet every day I touch over 100,000 people by the grace of God. Or more, is all, as Spurgeon said, all grace. All of grace. Macro grace is what we usually think of when we think about grace. It is the big picture of the free and unmerited favor of God, the free state of glory as manifested in the salvation of wicked, evil, drug smoking, drunkard, hell raising, fornicating, adultering, if that's a word, and it's not, adulterers, male and female, whoremongers and whores, liars and cheats, thieves and robbers, sorcerers and witches, sinners. And everybody who's ever been saved, all those I've named, they've been saved by the grace of God, if you will, the macro grace of God. We who are saved are all beneficiaries of this grace. Dr. Spurgeon famously said, it is all of grace. In that little simple statement, he wrapped up the whole Bible. He wrapped up all of life in Christ. It's all of grace. It's all of grace, baby. It's all every good thing you might see, think you see in me, is all of grace, man. It's not about me. And everybody who has experienced this grace, and they have grown up in this grace for a little while, they'll tell you the same thing. No matter how big they might be, no matter how great they may seem, they will hurry up and tell you with a tear in their eye sometimes, it's all of grace. Can somebody say amen? There is even more grace in store for us. There is not only macro grace, but micro grace. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? What is micro grace? You know, Think about it. Think about the word micro. Micro grace is the seemingly small, little itsy bitsy everyday measures of grace that God grants us to get through each day. Not only each day, but watch this, every hour. Somebody ought to say amen. Because sometimes hours can seem like days. Sometimes minutes can seem like half hours. Sometimes half hours can seem like an hour when you're going through hell. It's like you, and this icky feeling like you always wrestling with something. Oh, preacher, what are you talking about? I know that feeling is strange. When it seems like things ought to just go swimmingly and smoothly, they don't. You're constantly wrestling. You're constantly battling. You need micro grace to get you through every minute. To get you through a 15-minute segment of time. You need to pray every half hour today. Not only just every hour. Every hour I need thee. God's grace is the reason why you can experience a tragedy one day, yet wake up by the grace of God the next morning and somehow get up out of bed and go to the funeral of your child. What? What? What is that? What? What? This micro grace will give you to the ability to make the necessary phone calls to bury your 16-year-old child. Grace. God's grace is what enables you to deal with difficult people. People who were once in your camp. And now they're Judases. People who ought to help you gladly, but now they are Demases running away from God and you, leaving you all alone. They are Sanballats, they are Tobiases, standing underneath the wall, trying to get you to come down so they can hinder you more, when they already see that you're sleeping in your clothes. You're building, in the words of Curtis Hudson, you're building and battling. And you got to say with Nehemiah, I'm doing a great work for God and I can't come down. Amen, somebody. I don't have time for Tobias. I don't have time for Sanballat. And I definitely don't have time for Judas. God's grace is what enables you to deal with difficult people, even in your family. Negroes who are full of hell and the devil, they wake up mean as the devil. They stay mean all day long. They go to bed mean and they sleep mean. Watch these devils who have a hard time sleeping. There's something wrong. There's something wrong somewhere. But somehow you get up and face that devil every day. You eat breakfast with that devil. You eat lunch with that devil. You try to do some work with that devil. In the family, don't be shocked. I know you think that the Christian families, all Christian families, are supposed to be Brady Bunch like. That's a bunch of balderdash, to borrow a word from my white brethren. That's not the case. For some, you want to need grace if you have a family, by the way. Oh yes. Oh yes, you will. For some of your biggest enemies Some of your worst enemies will be your own family. Not outside the family, but inside the family. You can handle the devils on the outside. What? But it's those devils in the family you got to deal with. They know they're wrong. They know they ought to be helping every day. They ought to be contributing. They're benefiting from your blessings and the blessings that God has bestowed upon you throughout the history of your family. But yet they don't want to help anymore. They got theirs. They have benefited from everything you've given them and done for them. And now they got theirs. They don't even want to call you anymore. They don't want to visit. They don't want to help you do what you need to do. You need God's grace to deal with Negroes like that. And I told you I use the word Negro because I like it. And I use it for white folks and black folks. I don't care who you are. You're a Negro to me. I guess. I don't know. It helps me not to say the word, another word, which I dare not say, lest I be condemned to hell. Only by the grace of God can you power through tough people in tough circumstances and keep a good attitude when everything seems to be going against you. You still have what the Bible calls in the dictionary can't define. Did you hear what I said? The Bible calls it peace that passeth all understanding, and there's not a dictionary in the world that can define that. That come deep from God. And still have dealing with the devil in the family right beside you, trying to tear down everything you do, and you still have the joy of the Lord and can even laugh with that devil. Because you refuse to walk around your house like a military drill sergeant. And I've been in the military and I know how they got to act. And I can do it, but I'm not going to be a drill sergeant in my house. I'm going to walk around in my pajamas and my t-shirt and sit down in my easy chair and eat my meal. I'm going to laugh and joke, and I'm going to say what I want to say and say what I need to say. Even if you're not going anywhere, I reserve the right to say where you're going. I'm not going anywhere. Okay, good. Keep on walking. And I'm going to say what I want to say and do as I please. You can be mad as hell all you want to. I'm going to say what I got to say to you. As long as you're living in my household. And I'm going to laugh and I'm going to joke and I'm going to have a good time. I ain't going to be mad at you. Even though you're full of hell and the devil, family member. Even though you are a Judas trying to tear down God's work and God's family and trying to keep some mess up all the time. Family member. For your worst enemies can and will be, according to Jesus, your own family. Beloved, God's grace is what enables you to deal with difficult people, power through tough circumstances, and keep a great attitude, peace that passes all understanding, joy unspeakable, when everything seems to be going against you. That's only half of my sermon today. And I am moved by God and by time to go ahead and cut it off right there. Let's all stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for the momentum that is gained through preaching your Holy Word every day. It puts that devil on the run. It gives him fits. And even though he's kicking up dust, By your grace we march on, and we pray for souls to be saved, lives to be changed, Christians to be encouraged to live in this present evil world with your grace. For without your grace, we couldn't make it, and we wouldn't make it. Thank you for all of your grace, the macro kind and the micro kind. We need it all, for it is all of grace, as your servant said. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. And if you are to be saved out of this present evil world, it will be by the grace of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. And you can be found today. Because God, believe it or not, is searching for you. It's not that you're searching for God, and I hope you are, but if you are searching for God, it is God who's putting the search inside of you. Because God is trying to find, not trying to find you, God is searching for you. Some people call God the hound dog of heaven. I dare not say that. To me, that's disrespectful. But he has that kind of heart. Have you ever seen these dogs who are trained to smell certain things? That you put them on the scene. Just get them near the scene. You don't smell nothing. But you put a hound dog on the scene. Just get him near something. And what do you get? You get that beautiful thing of that dog eager to go. Let me go. Let me go. You don't know what's happening. Let me go, master. Let me. They pulling. They ready to get it. They're ready to get after it. They'll climb on broken down buildings. They'll go through thick woods, and they know what they are looking for. They're on the scent. Oh my. I can't call God the hound dog of heaven, but some have. But God, I believe, as I do, but one thing I have said before, and I think it's original with me, God is sitting on the edge of his throne. I believe this with all of my heart and mind, sitting on the edge of his throne, pulling for you to trust Jesus as Savior, and pulling you in, and just reeling you in. Come on, come on, come on now. Let go of that sin and trust my son Jesus so I can save you. Not only save you from hell, but save you to heaven. Can somebody say amen? And this right here, my preaching the gospel every day, is one of the millions, yea, billions of ways that God is pulling you in, pulling you in. And you may not get saved today, but the seed is being planted today. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase, is all, not only of grace, is all of God. Boom. Right there. It's not only all of grace, it's all of God. Somebody said God was the hound dog of heaven. I can't say that, but I said somebody said it. Do you have the picture of that hound dog? They just get them within a mile of the place you want them to hunt for, and they are getting out the truck, getting ready to leave you behind. They're pulling. They're pulling. Just let me go, master. I'll get what I got to get for you. God is like that. Oh God, oh my soul. You think you love yourself? God loves you a billion times more if you can get your head around that. Because the truth of the matter, my beloved, is God loved you so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But wait a minute. Jesus is God. Let me help you. God loved you so much he died for you. What kind of love is that? We got some men who say they'll die for their wives, and that's nice, but you know, in most cases, that's not true. I believe more men would die for their children. That's love. And thank God for some teachers who died for some students. But they did not have pure, holy, heavenly blood. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been born again? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save you today from your sins and from the punishment of your sins, which is hell, eternal hell, burning forever, gnashing at the teeth forever, in darkness, constantly falling forever. You'd be better off leaving your sin behind and trusting Christ as Savior. If you're willing to believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save your soul today, and he will save you. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the world, including my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn away from my old sinful life and to follow you in the new Christian life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer. Let's all stand.